The morning running for Christ. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, it's a good day, y'all. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm fighting my battles.
Come on,
this is how I'm fighting my battles.
Right.
This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
We will now have our responsive reading. Psalm 63rd chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Congregation.
Because your love is better than life, my lips glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.
I will be fully satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Together.
Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being our help, Lord. We thank you that your righteous right hand upholds us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again, Lord. I can't say it enough, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord. May heaven come down, Lord. May your spirit break out, Lord, today, Lord. May you come, Lord. You have a word for us, Lord. May you bless the preacher, Lord. Everything that she has to say, Lord, that you have given her, Lord, let it resonate in our minds and in our hearts, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. On nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face,
You may be seated.
And now we have Krista with the announcements.
Officially introduce me. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, y'all. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Very good class. Thank you. All right. So I don't want to forget, so I got my paper, that we are having our very first prayer hour. Amen. We're really excited about it. So it's happening on Saturday, May 25th, right here, all right, at Run for Christ Ministries. So prayer begins at 1:15 and it goes to 2:15, and then lunch is 2:25 to 3:30. So if you're going to RSVP, there is a sheet on the back table. Please sign it, and then you just, yeah.
Is no child care provided? I don't know if I said that.
No.
No child care provided?
Oh, you did.
So, like, if you bring your kid, like, I'm not responsible?
Yeah. That's not your day. You're not working at that.
Yeah, right. You got that day unless you personally take care of your baby.
Not me about that.
My kid's going to be working. So, if your kid want to work, then that's cool, but I'm not babysitting.
Amen. All right. Don't say you didn't know. All right. So again, please RSVP with Pastor Sarah by 5:12. But Sarah, RSVP the sheet?
Yep, the sheet.
Okay, so just make sure you sign up, follow the instructions that are on the sheet. Okay, so we can get an accurate head count. All right. So let's see, Pastor Janice. Well, first of all, we are celebrating our 21st church anniversary. 21 years.
Amen.
We have come a very long way. All of us have not been here since the beginning, but we're all here as if we've been here since the beginning.
Amen.
All right. This is truly a family here. And so we're very grateful for everything that the Lord has done for us. So we're celebrating all month long, of course. Pastor Janice is going to be bringing the word today. So that's why she tucked off in the little corner. Get a man right, amen. All right, so Mondays, we have our Bible class. This week is week 4 of God's Word to Us. It's taught by Pastor O, 6 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio. The lesson this week is the first English translation of the Bible. So it's a 5-week class. The questions are online. They are also on that back table. Make sure you get your questions before you go. And just check the back table. That's where free stuff go.
Yeah.
Nothing got to be paid for. Just take it. Okay. Except the purple cross. Don't everything else on the table you can have. Okay. So just make sure you check the back table and get the stuff on it. All right. Also, don't forget on Mondays, the Minister Lachelle Anderson has her Blog Talk radio show, Street Love, on Blog Talk on Mondays at 6:30. So just go to our Christian Resources page for more info. Tuesdays, 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday, 6 o'clock, we have our Bible class. So this week, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson is teaching the lesson entitled Jesus, Authority Over Demons. So you need a book for Bible class on Wednesday, and you also need a book for Pastor O's class, even though like we got this Monday and next.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's 2 weeks left.
This week, this Monday,
week
and following.
Next week.
Okay.
And if you want to take the class is uploaded on our church website. All you have to do is go there, get the book, go there, and you do it.
Thank you. All right. Friday, 7 p.m., Bring Back the Family, Deaconess Kathy, that's also on Blog Talk Radio. And then Saturday, we have our Saturday morning worship service that happens on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. If you're not listening, you're missing out.
Man.
All right, Saturdays, we all in our respective places, driving, doing, working, whatever. But that word that we get, service from beginning to end, is truly powerful. All right, so don't forget that everything we do here at Run for Christ Ministries, including our Sunday morning worship service, is recorded, archived, and free.
Yeah.
So you can just go to our church website, rfcm.org. You got jobs, books, resources, and more. Jonathan is the job guy. Avetrius is the resource lady. Okay, Jonathan is the job guy. Avetrius is the resource lady. However it gets to the website, it don't matter. Just check the website.
Resource team.
Okay. All right. We do have a prayer list that is forthcoming. Keela rolled up in here, so I just got to say she happy to be here. Amen. Bless her heart. All right, birthdays. Nedra.
Happy birthday.
She celebrated her birthday on the 12th. And baby Javon, one of Kat's kids, he celebrates his birthday on the 25th. Amen. All right, so I need y'all to listen really closely to the devotional. I'm going to read the one that I read yesterday, so I need y'all to pay attention, okay? It's entitled, The Choice to Rejoice. All right? It's by Pastor Jeff Shreve. If you listen to me on Saturdays, you know I read his devotionals because they're great. So it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Psalm 118, verse 24. Perhaps you heard the story of Bob who died and went to heaven. As St. Peter was showing him around, Bob noticed a strange item on the streets of glory. He saw a complaint box. Peter, Bob exclaimed, why would there be a complaint box in heaven? Peter replied, well, heaven is a place of perfect happiness, and some people just cannot be happy unless they can complain. Have you ever met someone who is a chronic complainer? Sadly, churches seem to have them in spades. These are the folks that are never happy. The music is too loud, the temperature is too uncomfortable, the sermon is too shallow or too deep or too long or too short. Nothing ever seems quite right. Many years ago, I greeted a church member and said enthusiastically, good morning. And he answered sourly, yeah, what's so good about it? Whatever he had, I certainly did not want to catch. So making the right choice. Regardless of the situation you may be facing today, one thing is for sure. God made this day, and he wants us to rejoice in it. In Psalm 118, verse 24, a definite choice was made to rejoice. The writer says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoicing is an act of the will. It is not based on feelings or favorable situations. The Lord is king of this day, and that is reason enough to celebrate. You and I can choose to rejoice and be glad, or we can choose to grumble, gripe, and complain. Choosing the latter course of action does not change our circumstances. It just sours our attitude and outlook. Choosing to rejoice, however, pleases God and lets your light for the Lord shine among men. So what are you facing today? An unsatisfying career? Unemployment? Marital conflict? Family turmoil? Financial problems? Failing health? Loneliness? Depression? Whatever it may be, God is greater than your problems. He has a miracle with your name on it. So stop complaining and start rejoicing. You and I serve a risen Savior who loves us, died and rose again for us, and promises to work all things together for our good. Take time right now to praise him for this day and the blessings and challenges that are found in it. Remember, the greater the difficulty, the greater the opportunity for him to work powerfully in your life. When a complaint comes to your lips, replace it with praise, and you will be amazed at the difference it will make in your life. Amen? Amen.
It is offering time right now. If you need an envelope or anything, we do have a deacon. Deacon, raise your hand.
Not deacon, raise your hand.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Y'all can stand to your feet. Y'all can stand to your feet.
Come into this house, magnify the Lord, lift up holy hands, our hearts lift up holy hands, our hearts in one accord, cause he's worthy, he's worthy of all our praise.
Just a little bit of all.
Yes, he's worthy, worthy of all our praise. Make a melody, sing unto the worthy, worthy of all our praise.
Worthy
of all our praise. Yes, he's worthy, worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of honor and glory, worthy of power and praise. Worship and bow before him, exalt his name today.
Is he worthy?
Into the house of the Lord.
He's worthy. Is he worthy of all our praise? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all our praise?
Give him enough praise that he deserves.
Amen.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Ever, 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 ever.
Ever, ever,
ever.
It is time for altar call. I'm going to pick on pastor this week because it's been a while. But it's all good. We've got a couple additions to our list. Pastor Terrence brought to our attention the Davis family and their loss of Amari. Who had lost their son just a few months before. Personal family, friends of mine, the Mitchell family. I've done buried son and mother. And yesterday I found out the father has third stage pancreatic cancer. And so pray for them and his treatment. Of course, John and his grandma Charlene, and of course, Jonathan. Continue to report Ron is mending, but moving through his treatment program. We definitely know the Lord is worthy of praise because Mackie's mama,
yes.
Diane's sister, is in the house. She's praying.
Amen.
You know God is able.
Come on. That's good.
And he's going to finish what he started.
Come on. Right? Amen.
So your prayers are not in vain.
Yes.
I mean, we shouted for Keela, but wow, we got a two for this week. Of course, continuing to comfort for Deaconesses Lisa and Anita and the loss of their aunt and that family. As you know, as we age, that means those above us are aging out.
Amen.
So let's remember that. It's our anniversary month, so everybody sitting in here needs prayer. Of course, Darius to the top of the list. Nico and Doris, we're keeping them before the Lord. Doris, I hear, is pneumonia, but she's home being treated, so let's keep her in our prayers. Good to see Mother Marilyn in the house.
Yes.
Mother Cheryl is in the house. Mother Persia's in the house. Mother Hermes got a cold, but we're praying for her, so she'll be back in the house. We're going to honor. I did say Cheryl. You weren't listening. Pay attention. Get him, teacher. All right. We're going to honor our college graduates today. So that'll happen. Continue to pray for the world at war and rumors of wars and thinking about planning wars and all that. Pray. That's what I say. Border crisis, government, pray. Talk to the Father. So as our pastor comes and leads us collectively, we know we're all going to the throne together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, we get to do something that the world can't do. We get to talk to the creator of this universe that we live in. Amen?
Amen.
So let's talk to him.
Okay.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we do praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet another privilege to come into your house. Lift up holy hands and worship you. Father, you've been good to us. You've been kind to us. You've been careful with us. You've been caring to us. And you brought us from last Sunday to this Sunday. We went over a lot of hills this week, but we felt you pushing us up. And then, Father, we went down into some low, lonely valleys, and we felt you there comforting with us. Father, we want to thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We want to thank you, Jesus, for keeping your promise to send us the Holy Spirit to take up residence inside of us, that we might be assured that we are your children. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every good thing that you did. We thank you for all the food. We thank you for all of the clothes. We thank you for all of the kindness and the goodness that you have showed us. We thank you for loving us just because you want to. We thank you, Father, that you created a salvation for us that don't require us to be or do anything other than to accept it. We thank you, Father, for the day that you told us that you had given your only begotten Son, and if we just believe in him, we would not perish, but we could continue to enjoy the life that we love eternally.
Yes, amen.
We thank you, Father, that you fix it all in Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that you continue to love us even when we didn't desire you. Way back in Genesis, when you created us and when you married that first couple, and then the devil showed up and he tricked us. He told us that we could become self-serving and discerning, and we could just make up whatever we wanted to do without you telling us anything. We wanted life, but we wanted it apart from you. But we thank you, Father, that you did not give up on us. You pursued us with a great love. You pursued us with a relentless love, a love that wouldn't stop looking for us. Jesus, we felt like those sheep who had strayed away. We felt like the coin that was lost in the house. We felt like the prodigal son who just walked off. But Jesus, one day you picked us up, put us on your shoulders, and brought us home. One day, Jesus, you found us and restored us back to the other money, and now we got value. And Lord, you came and you waited and you waited and you looked and you sought. And then one day you saw us come and ran to us and hugged us and re-robed us, re-shod our feet and made us children instead of slaves. And now we can cry, as Romans tells us, Abba, Father. We can use that term of endearment. We can call you daddy. Everybody else on earth just have to acknowledge you as God, because you are God and you are sovereign. But we get to call you daddy. We thank you, Father, that you have made us more than just servants, but you have made us your children. You have created an eternity that you cannot wait to lavish on us. We thank you, Father, for what's coming ahead of us. And we keep our eye on that prize, and that keeps us encouraged to keep on in this battle. We know the war is already won. But Father, right now you want to use us to take out of this world a people for yourself. So help us to not forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank you for the celebration of Easter, because it gives us a reminder of the cost of our salvation. And it also tells us that we are to go out and to be witnesses in our near surroundings, in our homes, in our communities. And then we take it to our counties and to our state and our nation.
And then we take it to people who we don't like being around, places we don't like going, because they need the word too. And then, Father, when we're done with all of that, we take it to the uttermost parts of this earth. We pray, Jesus, that what you said over there in Matthew chapter 24, you said that one day you was coming back. And it would be good for us that when you returned, you found us doing what you commissioned us to do. And that is to be a witness. So, Lord, when you come back, we pray that you find us leading people to you. That you find us teaching people who believe in you. That you find us helping those in or outside the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, I personally and collected together with all the members of Running Christ, Running for Christ, want to thank you for 21 years. You have carried us for 21 years. We have not strayed from the path of teaching, learning, and doing. We have not strayed from the path of making disciples, and once they're made, teaching them what you taught us. You've been faithful, Lord.
Say that.
I want to personally thank you for all of the people that you brought alongside me to pull off your wheel for Running for Christ Ministries. I want you to bless them as I ask you every single day, every kind of way. Protect them from the evil one, Satan and his demons. And let your grace and favor always be with them.
Amen.
So that they succeed wherever they go.
Thank you.
If they end up in Egypt, bring them out. If they end up at the Red Sea, help them cross. If they end up where they can't eat, drop them manna. If they find themselves fighting people they can't beat, take out Sihon and all. And when they get to the Jordan River, let them test their feet in by faith and cross over. When they get to the walls of Jericho, let them fall down by your power.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you
that
you have positioned us so that we cannot fail. We're walking in victory, as Pastor Janice Tate taught us a long time ago. We are fighting from a position of victory.
Come on.
Help us to remember that as we walk daily through this life that you've given us. Oh, Jesus, we cannot thank you enough for what you did for us. Because of what you did, as you told us over there in John chapter 1 and 12, to as many as have believed on your name, to them you gave the power, the authority, to call themselves children of God. Because this was not decided by a mother and a father who desired to have children. But this one, Father, this rebirth was done by you.
Okay.
We thank you, Father.
Yes.
Lord, I love you. And I thank you for loving us.
That's good.
And I pray that you continue to love Running for Christ Ministries and accomplish your will through it. In Jesus' name, we pray that you bless the preacher today with the word that's going to send us down from this mountain like the two men on the road to Emmaus, saying, did not our hearts burn while the Lord preached through us, through his servant today?
Come on.
Bless us with the word, Jesus, that lasts forever. Bless us with a word that's going to help us today, tomorrow, and every other day that we live in this life. You can give us what we need.
Yes.
It's all in your word.
Yes.
Bless the preacher with your word. And bless her to give it to us the way you gave it to her. In Jesus' name, we pray your blessing on all these people. We thank you so much for all of the sick people you've healed. The sick people you are healing.
Yes.
We thank you for all those you provided for being Jehovah Jireh to everybody who was in need. We thank you, Lord, that all you've left us to do is to seek your kingdom and your righteousness.
Yes.
And you add everything else to us. In Jesus' name, we just want to say thank you. Amen.
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 I'm just gonna pass the basket and dismiss. You can stand and join us in this last song together.
Thank you. matchless love and beauty in this world. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
I had to get my Janet Jackson together. I'm dancing today, my back hurts. Oh, yes. Yeah, I need that. Whew. And then I needed a minute. I would like to thank first Lisa, Deaconess Lisa, for getting in my business. Then I had to stop Deaconess Loretta from preaching the sermon, and then Crystal gets up here and reads the sermon, and then Pastor had the nerve enough to preach and pray the sermon, which means that evidently we must all have been hearing the same message. So I'm gonna do this, Lord. So let us pray. Father, right now we thank you because your presence is really here.
Oh, yes.
It's nothing we're imagining or trying to manufacture. But then when we all had the good sense to realize how lost and broken we were, and we said individually, yes to you, Jesus. Yes to your blood. Yes to your sacrifice. Yes to your gift. That immediately you came in and took residence in each one of us. So as we are here, you are here. And we thank you. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Truly my strength and definitely my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
In your Bibles, there is a verse that even the unsaved are very familiar with. My problem is I think the saved are less familiar with what the verse actually means than the unsaved are. Yeah, got my, I go, Crystal, came with my Air Force Ones on today, so. Oh. John chapter 3. Uh-oh, my real help coming now. Here come my buddy. Somebody know what that means. John chapter 3, we have the encounter with Mr. Pharisee Nicodemus coming to talk to Jesus at night, because that's probably on chance he could catch up with him, and having a conversation about, look, we know who you are. You do miracles and stuff. You got to be from God, because only God can do what you do. And we know you're a good teacher, Jesus. You're a great rabbi. But you know, Jesus, you're talking to me about this born again stuff. I'm an old man. I cannot go back to my mother's womb. She's gone. And Jesus said, oh, Nicodemus, you are a leader, a teacher, and you don't get the spiritual things of God? Let me help you, Nicodemus. I'm going to pick up in that conversation at verse 14 of John chapter 3. I'm in the New International Version, where it reads, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I ask the question, do you know you saved? Do you know you saved? Because see, Jesus was talking to Rabbi Nicodemus, teacher, leader, religious leader, and he did not understand the concept. And I think because we're so used to hearing John 3:16, most of us can quote it. Class, let's say it. "For God so loved the world depending on where you grew up at. All right, so if you grew up King James, you got King James. If you grew up NIV-ish, you got NIV-ish. If you got NLT or anything else, you said a whole lot of other stuff, and people are like, what Bible they reading? But it all says the same thing. We're all familiar with that verse. It's the most famous verse in the Bible. It's at football games, it's on buildings, it's everywhere. But if you do not understand the verse in context of the conversation, you are taking a text and doing what the Bible what Bible scholars call proof texting. You're taking it and you're making it say what you want it to say without understanding what it actually means. But Jesus wasn't ashamed to tell Nicodemus, hey, let me break it down to you. Because see, look where he started out at. In verse 14, he said, see, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him would be saved. In other words, he took Nicodemus, your Bible, Nicodemus, that you read, that you should know this story. That story is found in Numbers, the book that nobody ever likes to read because it has too many numbers in it. Today we're going to it. Let's go to Numbers. Let me see where I'm at. I'm not in my notes, so I'm somewhere. Chapter 21, I believe, is where I'm going. That's why I put a thing in it so I know where to go. Numbers, chapter 21. Where we have our favorite group, the children of Israel, aka Can't Get Right. And they have come out of the wilderness, and they have gone into a land, and they have been threatened by a king. Now remember, this is not yet, they're forming a nation, so they don't have a military budget. They don't have a Department of Defense. They got a bunch of women, children, and men who are just skilled in learning how to survive, and they just a few years out of slavery. So when they come across a nation that has all that, a Department of Defense, they have one choice. They turn to the Lord, who they saw when they were at Jericho and they had those mighty walls. And the Lord said, hey, you don't need no C4. All you need to do is walk and shout and watch the walls come down. So they've had some lessons. This is the same God who, when they were enslaved in Egypt all those years, totally decimated, destroyed every god and the entire economy of Egypt just to rescue them. So they knew when we get in trouble, we knew who to call on. So they called on the Lord. And it says there in chapter 21 that verse 3, the Lord listened to Israel's pleas and gave the Canaanites over to them. They completely destroyed them and their towns because they called out to the Lord because they needed him. But right after that, we have an interesting thing that happens. Chapter 21, verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the road, the route to the Red Sea, to go around Edom, because the Edomites gave them trouble last time they tried to go through there. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and Moses and said, Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread. There is no water. And we detest this miserable food. The manna, the what is it? The bread that came from heaven already loaded with olive oil, so all they had to do was prepare it. They grumbled. They moaned. They complained. After all, the same God that just rescued them from the Canaanites and gave them a great victory and they destroyed everything without military power and might, and now you turn around and you complaining? What happened? Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Pay attention to that phrase. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake and he lived. This is the story that Jesus is referring Nicodemus back to. And he said to him, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness and the people looked and lived, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever looks to him and believes in him will have eternal life. Life it was intended from the beginning. Life as it should be. But notice in the story, the people asked Moses, pray to God that he will take away the snakes. But when you read the story carefully, God didn't take away the snakes. He provided a remedy for those who got bitten, who had the courage to look up to the pole and live. Because sometimes he ain't taking the snakes away. Because the snakes may be your problem, but they are not your solution. See, we want our problems to go away. Come on. But when our problems go away, you know, we want our back to stop hurting so we can drop it a little lower. We want one habit to go away so we can pick up another habit. We want that person to go away so we can get a worse person. We want our pockets to get fat so we can go away from God and do what they did, grumble when they run out. See, he didn't promise eternal life in the sense of longevity. You'll live forever. He promised life as it was intended to be from the beginning. We talked about it in Sunday school, and if you miss Sunday school, you've been missing something, but that's okay. I'm going to talk about you anyway. In the beginning does not start at Genesis 3. Let me help you. Most of us can quote life more about after the fall than we know what it was intended to be before the fall. Because all we do is talk about our relationships. I can't get along with so-and-so. He don't love me. She always bucking me. She won't submit. He won't that. That's not how God intended. They were supposed to rule together. Amen. To have dominion. In harmony. In the garden where God walked around and dwelt with them every day, all day. They could talk to God at any time. They didn't have to go get a priest. They didn't have to drop to their knees. God was there. Because the garden was in his place. Eden was actually God's temple on earth. So that's why when the serpent walks up to them, they're not tripping because this serpent is walking up to them. They're used to it because this serpent is a spiritual field being. And they're used to encountering spiritual field beings. But see, if we pick up the story at 3, we think that it just showed up. He was already there. And they were used to it being there. Back to the lesson. What God intended from the beginning, sickness was not on the list. Death was not on the list. It didn't exist. Conflict didn't exist. Destroying the environment was not a thing. They cultivated the garden. They wanted trees to reproduce other trees, plants to reproduce plants, animals to reproduce animals. They worked with God in partnership to have that happen. And then they decided that they wanted to do life apart from God, which is death. And because of that one choice in that garden, every human being after that is apart from God. Remember, God put them out of the garden, but he provided a way for them to come back. Genesis 3:15 tells you that there's going to be an issue between that serpent and the seed of the woman. Oh, the serpent going to strike and put a death blow on the seed of the woman. But the seed of the woman will crush that serpent's head. So back in John 3, where Jesus tells Nicodemus, just like that serpent was raised up on a pole, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The word they use there is the word exalted. Most of us don't realize the cross wasn't just his death, it was his exaltation. Because at the cross, death and hell were defeated. Sin was forgiven. It was already done. So before he died, he said, "It is finished." He meant everything was done. All of the chaos that has happened since Genesis 3 on has now been restored. And God is on a massive restoration project from Genesis 3 on to redeem, restore, deliver, heal, give, provide, live with his creation. And the only way to get it is to believe in that Son. The only way to get it. So that's why he goes into that passionate. That's how much God loved the world. That he didn't require human sacrifice. He didn't require animal sacrifice. He gave his one and only Son. Which means, you see in the Bible, some of you reading, you're probably going, wait a minute, why did I say the sons of God over here? Because there were other sons of God. That's another lesson for another time. But there was only one Son who is exactly like God. Yes. Hebrews tells us that he is the express image of God. In other words, if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God deals with people, look at Jesus. If you want to know how a perfect human being is supposed to live, look to Jesus. Because he is the only human being outside of Adam in Genesis 1 and 2 to live in perfect harmony and relationship with God. All the rest of us have failed. We failed before we even got out of our mama's womb. That's why it says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It was in us. When you read John 3 on, I'm going to come back to verse 17 in a minute. It says that the world's already condemned. In other words, people are already, they're already dead men walking. You want to know why people act the way they act? They live apart from God. Real sin is not just I smoke, I drink, I cuss. Those are sins. Those are the things you do. Those are symptoms to a greater problem. And see, we try to deal with our runny nose instead of getting to the issue of how we got a cold or allergies. If you deal with your allergies, guess what? Then your nose stop running. But see, when you try to deal with sin by, if I just stop doing this, guess what? You're going to find something else to do. Jesus tells a parable about a house that is swept out. The demons are ran out the house and the house is clean and everybody like the house is clean, but the demons hang out and after a while they say we going back to that clean house because they didn't put nothing in it. And so see, just getting rid of your sins is not going to get rid of your problem because it's going to come back, and as some of us know, when it comes back with a vengeance. So you got to put somebody in the house. You got to believe in the Son. And then let him seal you with the Holy Spirit. So now you got the power to deal with when that thing comes back. Apart from me, you can do nothing, is what Jesus tells us in John 15. You can't deal with sin apart from me. You can't love your neighbor apart from me. You can't do your job effectively for the kingdom apart from me. I'm not talking about what I'm doing up here. I'm talking about when you go to work tomorrow and they got you putting stuff together and filing stuff. And you can't do that job properly apart from him. Because your flesh is showing up first. I hate this job. I don't even want to be here. I don't like none of these people. They better have my check right this week. But what happens when you don't have a job? There's no income coming in. The bills are due. We wrote a song about it. Like to hear it, here it go. Bills due, money low, no hope to be found. Heart cries, it's heavy, and my fears abound. But a small voice speaks to me, asking what you want of me. Trust in my word. Have faith in my storm and in your storm. Just be still and know. Believe in the Son. Because what he's saying is in John 3, he said, when he says eternal life, what he's saying is the power to go to work with a smile, even though you know you're working for the empire. And Emperor Palpatine is serving for you Star Wars fans. Oh, ain't none in here. I'm going to a new church. Come on, Star Wars, the Emperor, the guy that was behind Darth Vader. Hallelujah, I got some saved people in here. Come on, if y'all don't get in it, see, you got to read your Bible in order to understand the world. All these movies are hitting at the same thing because everybody is searching for that son. I mean, after all, you know Darth Vader is German for dark father. Hi, got your little Easter egg, huh? You're late. Anyway. The sun, it's all about the sun. Everybody's trying to figure out how to live this life, and they're dead if they don't have the sun. But I'm not talking to dead folks today. I'm talking to folks who have the sun. Why you not living? I'm not angry at people anymore. God cured that. I'm angry at what's behind God's people from living. Why are we the most broke down, saddest, tired, complaining, whining people on the planet when we have life? Why we get a problem, the first thing we do is we call it everybody. It needs to help. Do you fall on your face? Let me show you this personal, little personal stuff. When I was called by the Lord to do this, which I had no desire to do, he told me two words at the beginning. Total dependence. Now, I was all you women independent. Oh, y'all. Hey, I see some over here. Yep, that was me. Jobs, cars, money, I had it. Working well, I got the best job I've ever had. I'm happy. And the pastor and star let me preach a little bit, which women was out of, and I'm like, this is good. And then God said, come to me, be mine. I said, well, okay, I'll let you tell me how that's going to work out. And then a year later, I was unemployed. Everything was due. Sister, dad, mama and daddy start falling apart at the seams. Other sister was dying every other day. And I was alone a lot. Tried to work, couldn't, because I was in the middle of having a nervous breakdown. Because what do you do when you depend on yourself? What do you do when you've been living life apart from God? A lot of 4 o'clock in the mornings. A lot of reading. a lot of asking this God, who is not some distant, far-off person, but is who is real and living inside of me, what are you doing to me? And he reminded me, total dependence. And I have watched year after year as my income has gone down and down and down. And I made Marissa laugh the other day because I said, I'm just praying about a bill this morning that I had due. So I go to the mailbox. And in the mailbox, there's an envelope from the state of Michigan. What is this? I got my tax money last year. Just enough to pay the bill. And in the last month, that has happened weekly. Because I'm plugged into life. And when my face goes down and I'm like, why? I told Jonathan, even this week, I just need to get a job to be like everybody else and live like everybody else. This is ridiculous. Because you feel like that. But then you come back to the word and you remember what he said. Whoever believes in me will have life. As it should be. Don't mean you're not going to get sick. But guess what? If you get sick, two things can happen. He either going to heal you here or he going to bring you with himself. Let's see. I get healed here or no more hospitals, doctors, sickness, misery, pain, suffering. Which one is worse? I think sometimes staying here is worse. That's just me. When you lose loved ones and your heart is breaking because it's real. And it's different every time a different one goes. And you feel like you're just not going to be able to breathe and get up from it. And life is not going to be the same. That seat is empty. Those clothes are gone. That money is gone. All of that is gone. But then you remind yourself what the scripture says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Because that's a part of life. That's the promise. Then when your father and mother forsake you, that means when they die and they go and they take all of their blessings, because they half of our banks anyway, when they go, guess what he says? I got you. I take you up. So then you start asking yourself, Lord, this bill is kind of big. And wait, oh, stop. I'm talking to the one who spoke to the Red Sea and the wind blew and it parted. I'm talking to the one who, when Israel was out there whining and complaining about having no food, he rained down food every day for 40 years. And then moved them into cities they didn't build, with gardens they didn't plant, and cattle and stuff that they didn't even have to go buy. That's who we talk to. Why? Because he said, you believe in me. So now you have access to life. So this is my message to you all, part A. Stop living like you don't have life. Start talking to the source of life. Start believing in the source of life. Don't just talk at him. Tell him, remind him who he is and who he said he is to you. You know, he said, pray Jehovah Jireh. You know, we say it's the Lord who provides, but you know in the Hebrew, because y'all know I be all into stuff like that, it really says that God said, I'll see to it. Oh, help me. I got to say that again. It does not, Jehovah Jireh does not just mean the Lord will provide. It means God himself says, I'll see to that. Mother cries out, I'm lonely, I'm tired, I don't feel good. He says, I'll see to that. I'm not sending nobody, I'll see to it myself. And if one of us is willing, he'll say, hey, I need you to do me a favor. And you like, I don't know why the Lord dropped me on it, but I'm going to call my auntie and see what she needs. And she says, thank you, Lord. Why? Because he saw to it. We missing that life. He'll see to it. Some of us are living around all kinds of anxiety. What's tomorrow going to bring? I know my Polk College students. Hey, Micaiah, I pray for you. You know why? Because I was sitting in my room with all my stuff I had just brought home from college, from West Virginia, 5 years collected, sitting in that room, and I had the most wonderful mother who came in and said to me, the way your room look is what is going on inside of you. Huh? I was depressed. Because after you go grow up, they say grow up, go to college, you get a job, and then you come out and you grow up, and you go to college, and ain't no job. My first job out of college was sitting in McFall at the desk for $100 a week. And then I got an upgrade. I worked at Toys R Us during Christmas season. I needed all of Jesus for that job. But because of spending time with him in his word, getting to know him, even at that age, when came time by December, I had two job offers. Sometimes I wish I'd have taken the one that had paid me more, but that's another question. I wouldn't be doing this. What am I saying? Take that anxiety and cast your cares on him. He cares for you. And he says, you say, I don't know what I'll do. He said, I'll see to it. But you got to believe that he will. Those that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of those who believe him, who diligently seek after him. Faith, you gotta believe that he is who he says he is. That's lesson one. I pray anybody who needed to hear that heard that. Yes. Lesson two is found in verse 17 in John. We skip this. This verse is most important because it's gonna help how we talk to people. Where it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is how most of us, especially in Western culture, approach evangelizing. You need Jesus. You see you out here in this club, drinking. You know you've been on that stripper pole. She need Jesus. You know you got too many babies to count. You need Jesus. You know you turned up every night. You need Jesus. Condemning, 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 condemning. God did not send his son. Jesus didn't walk up to that woman at the well and say, you are the trashiest woman in the village.
Come on, Daddy.
He sat there and he told her, I got something that I can give you. Wait, I want to see to you. And then he told her what he hadn't told anybody else. When she bust up with that, well, you know, because she was religious. She like, well, you know, the Messiah, he's coming. And when he comes, he'll settle all this. Where should we worship at? And he looked at her and said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the one you've been waiting on. I'm the one who'll see to it. What am I saying? Stop going to people because they nose running. Help them get rid of their cold.
Yeah.
Take them to Jesus. Tell them good news. Euangelion, the good news. It's not good news and I'm a sinner. I know that. And I like it. And everybody else around me is doing it and helping me. I got plenty of company. I'm good. But do you have life? But see, you can't tell me about life if you're not living it. I need a drink after that. You can't tell me about come to Jesus and you haven't gone. You can't be walking around with a gunshot wound talking about the scratch that's over my eye. Oh, or let me put it, Jesus, let me put some Bible on it. How you gonna tell somebody about the speck in their eye and you got a big old 2x4 in yours? Because you haven't gone to the source of life and believe that he will help you with the 2x4 so that you can see clearly now and get a new prescription and go, hey, let me help you with that speck. Because anybody knows, if you got somebody, you know, you have a little eyelash or something, and you ask for somebody to help you get it out, that's some delicate work. Because you're dealing with somebody's eye. You need to be gentle. And if you can't see, you will go get a blowtorch and try to get it out. And who wants to have their eyes burnt out? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. The world through him would get life, because they need life. They don't know they're dead. And we live in a world today, okay, let's stop the world. A country today where it's a whole lot of people that's dead, that's lying and saying they're alive. Because they say stuff like, over my cold dead, they got to pry it out of my cold dead hand. Because you want to kill everybody you just saw? That's what you're supposed to be doing? But you got flags and crosses at the same place. We sing the song. People everywhere, they need Jesus. But we have got to give them the Jesus who has the power to give them life. And it starts with us going to him to live life. Eternal life does not start when you die or when he comes back. It started the day you got saved. The project began that day. The reason we struggle is because we're still under construction. But I believe there's a verse in the Bible, Pastor, that said that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God said, I'll see to it. I have not even looked at any of this. I told Jonathan when I came in, I said, it's been trashed already. And I'm okay with that, because I truly am. If you think I'm tough, if you think I'm mean, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the snakes that keep coming in and poisoning my people. And I know the only way I can do damage to them is by telling the truth about him. And the more you hear the truth about him, the more you'll believe and trust in him, and then you'll do your own damage. Because see, we're not fighting alone. We fight together. And this is my part in the fight. And I have committed myself until the day he either comes back or calls me home to keep the fight going. Why? Because I'm fighting on the one who already won. Remember when he said it after Matthew 28? We quoted. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Let's get it straight. In heaven, I have to have another class to teach y'all about what heavens really mean. The place where God dwells, and then there's the place where all our enemies, the real enemies, they're not in Washington. They're behind them folks in Washington. The principalities and powers that Paul talk about, the spiritual wickedness in high places, that's the real enemy. But according to Colossians, guess what Jesus did at the cross? He disarmed the powers and made a public spectacle of them. That is literally, he put a hook in their nose and marched them through, saying, you are now my slave. And right after he said that, he tells his disciples to go. Why? Because I got your enemy. I saw to that. And if you believe that I saw to that, then you can go tell others and make disciples. Teach them about me. Don't come at nobody else about their sins. Come at them about their solution. And when they come back at you about your sin, tell them, ain't that the good part, is that we both under construction? We both a house renovation project? But when he gets through, stop letting the snakes win in your life and in the life of others. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And they can only be saved if they believe in him. Father, we thank you. Thank you for seeing to us. Thank you for loving us way beyond what we can possibly imagine. As ratchet and as wrong as we can be on any given day, you still say, that's my child. Yeah. And you still tell the enemy, do not touch my child without my permission. Yes. And Lord, we need to truly believe that as we go out into this world, because we have a job to do. We are supposed to be reconciling the world back to you by telling them about this Jesus, knowing about this Jesus. Not just quoting scripture, but understanding that if they just look to Jesus, they'll live. Help us to get a better message. Help us to do it from a heart that loves them more than we love ourselves. And help, we know that our power comes from you, Holy Spirit. You're the only one who's able. And we thank you because you're not leaving us alone to do this by ourselves.
Yes.
You're doing it with us. It's a partnership. And we're grateful.
Yes.
In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank Janice for that word today. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, it says, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel earn a living from the gospel. So in accordance with God's word, we're going to take up a love offering for our preacher today.
All right, so this is the time that Run Up for Christ Ministries is going to take a moment to acknowledge our college graduates. Give them a hand. When I call your name, please come up. We have a gift for you, and we just want to say good job.
What'd I do?
Alana. We have something for Amir. He's not here today, but his mother is. Robin, is Robin here today? Yes, her mother is here. Nedra. Micaiah. And Alex. Alex has a representative. Okay. That's a lot of college graduates in this small church. Students and graduates. Students and graduates, yes. Thank you. Jalen is not here, but we also want to acknowledge Jalen.
Amen. He'll be in town later this week.
It is good to see everybody. To our visitors, we have a couple. We have visiting and we have family visiting. Deacon Eric, huh? Your guest today you brought. So
Dolores.
Yes, Dolores. We pray that you know that God is here. And then all the way from down in Luling, Texas, the eldest, our Chastity Joy, is here with us. We've been praying with her, y'all. So y'all see her. See another answer. God's prayer, we've been praying for y'all. We're going to do our benediction, so stand to your feet. Yes, our organist is in position. He's ready. Look. Somebody pray for us. We got help.
Thank you. I'm just